Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. Apparently, our intro wasn't playing, so I'm going to apologize for that. But this is Samira Luna with the Tree of Life Hour here on the Taken Tonight Radio Network. And the Tree of Life Hour is brought to you by the Tree of Life Community Center, a nonprofit group of people in the Louisville, Kentucky area. They're trying to create space for people of earth-based religions and philosophies. And our show is all about the community, things we think the community should be talking about or know about. And tonight, I'm going to admit, I kind of dropped the ball. I didn't have anything planned. Thursday kind of snuck up on me. And so I am taking any phone calls for people that might want to call in and discuss any issues or a path they're on. You can do that or whatever you may want to do. Right now I'm a little flustered. I was running late. I had a family thing going on before I came on the air. So I'm going to play a song. If this ever loads. So I'm going to play a song, and what I'm going to play, I don't know, because it's not one to open. So I'm going to apologize. I'm a little scatterbrained right now. So I'm going to play, apparently I'm not going to play anything. So what I'm going to do is, I'm going to have to pause for a second, so I'm going to apologize to everyone because the board isn't working. I did want to bring up an issue, though, that happened this, actually it was just today that it got posted. I know that we have talked about the Red Tent, the Women's Red Tent groups that are all over the country. Well, one of my friends leads the one in Michigan, and apparently someone actually called her out and was calling it appropriation, saying that she had appropriated, I guess, Native American religion, and the Red Tent meet group, which I thought was kind of weird. And I don't know how to describe it. I'm trying to find the post. And what it is that, so apparently, so here's the post. It says that it was posted by the Protest for Native Rights in Michigan. And the actual post says, "We live in a society where our practices are cherry-picked and make women globally feel stronger. Native women have been practicing this before there was a movement, in quotations, that came from a book. It is typically to experience this appropriation by white people as Native folk. We are more than ancient civilizations and some Native Americans. Our teachings have been passed down through generations. An encouragement to keep reclaiming and staying strong to our teachings amidst a society full of spiritualism that takes from us without acknowledgement." And she posts while sharing Red Tent Wild Women Weekend retreat that is going on in Michigan. Now, at least that specific Red Tent, they feel that it is taken also from European traditions. It's not just one tradition. A lot of different religions and cultures have always had a tent or someplace that women went when they were, you know, on menstruating or on their period, and kind of became, you know, separate from everyone but a group of women. And so apparently this person thinks that this is being taken just from the Native American tradition. And there were some really good comments on the post that, you know, some people just said that they just don't think appropriation is always true to happen. And the leader actually said that they've tried to have a conversation. The leader of the Red Tent group says they tried to have a conversation with the person, and so that because they were having the ceremony on their land, it makes it appropriation. Of course, she was confused on that because it's actually happening on private land. It is not an Indian reserve or anything like that. So it was, she doesn't really understand where she's coming from. And then someone actually posted on the post, which I'm going to try to see if I can get her on sometime because she's very, very well, you know, very, discusses it very well. She said, I would like to say I recognize and see how much the situation has hurt you. The topic has so many facets to it, and it triggers deep emotion, trauma for some. This trauma is historic, ancestral, and possibly even past lives. As an Indigenous woman who is enrolled with a recognized nation and grew up in more traditional Native American home, meaning I experienced the culture, the appropriation, stealing of anyone's culture and beliefs, has consequences. Reading your material and about your event coming up, it doesn't seem to me that you have stolen anything. As I know, when I am speaking about a ceremony, ritual, etc., I encourage non-Native listeners / students to research their lineage. Their people's cultures to learn about who they or how they do ceremony within their beliefs rather than assuming a Native American ceremony without the proper training. We are all Indigenous from some continent, and we are all tribal if we go back far enough to our ancestry. We have a common thread that runs through every culture, and that is our connection to Grandmother Earth. How we express our connection to her is where the difference begins to appear. In your heart, you already know what your truth is. Stand in that truth, stand in your truth, and do no harm to others or to yourself. This is the soul maturity behavior. There is so much energy within and under this situation, layers and layers of opportunity for everyone involved to heal, learn, and gain experience, to grow. And then she said she was sending her a hug. So I would really like to get her on sometime to kind of talk about what appropriation is and what it isn't. You've heard us talk about on the radio before. So that is, you know, something that we'd like to discuss because a lot of paganism does come from other cultures and other religions, as well as other religions take from, you know, prior religions. So it's kind of become a hot topic within the pagan community. It's also become a hot topic within, you know, our cultures in general, not just the pagan community. So it is something that I would like to have on the air sometime discussed. So hopefully eventually that can happen. So, by the way, yes, I am the only one on the air tonight. I'm having my nightmare again. Sorry, everyone. Sorry you have to listen to me. Talk to myself. So like I said, if anybody wants to call in, you can. If you have called in, press the 1 button. I will get to you. The board is trying to load again. It's doing it slow. So that's why I couldn't play a song a minute ago to chill out real quick before I started, you know, rambling. But that is what's going on there. And let's see, what else is going on? Is there anything good coming up? I'll tell you what, I am going to play that song now and figure out with you all. Because like I said, I dropped the ball. I've just not been thinking clearly since, you know, taking my GRE and hopefully getting accepted to grad school. And then hopefully once that happens, I'll have a lot to talk about with you all. I can just ramble on and on and on about psychology type stuff, if anyone's interested, that is. So I do have some other stuff in the work that I'm trying to get with people to see if they want to come on the air and talk with us. I'm trying to get someone that I know from Pagan Unity Festival to come on about guarding your hearth and home. Someone else to actually talk about how to work with crystals, because we all know that you know, you see stuff about getting this crystal for that and this crystal for that and putting it up in your home and such, but how are you really supposed to work with them? That's been my question here lately. So, but I'm going to play a song real quick And I'm going to play Jack Montgomery and Water Sprite, and I'm going to play John Barleycorn, and I'll be right back.
The hunt. blow his horn, and the tinker can mend the kettles nor the pots without a little barley corn. Without a little barley corn. Without a little barley corn.
All right, and we are back, and thank you everyone for that little break. I know it was a little early, but it helped me get things situated. So, let's see. So, as far as events that are going on, I guess I will go ahead and do some current events since no one apparently wants to talk to me. Poor Samara, right? So, I guess everyone knows about the ruling that just happened, that the Supreme Court, or I think it's the Supreme Court, I'm trying to get to the article, I went too far. There's actually, says the Supreme Court of the United States delivered their opinion Monday, June 4th, on the Masterpiece Cake Shop case, and it holds that the Colorado Civil Rights Commission's actions in assisting the cake shop owner's reasons for declining to make a cake for a same-sex couple's wedding celebration violated the Free Exercise Clause, which it overturned previous court rulings, and the vote was 7-2, with Ginsburg and Sotomayor filing a dissenting opinion, or filing a dissenting opinion, sorry. And it suggested the commission did not uphold neutrality when dealing with the baker's conscience-based objections, saying there was a notable bias expressed against the baker's religious belief. It reads in part that the government has no role in expressing or even suggesting whether the religious ground for Phillips's conscience-based objection is legitimate or illegitimate. The inference here is thus that Phillips's religious objection was not considered with the neutrality required by the Free Exercise Clause. So the Wild Hunt, and please go out and support them, it's wildhunt.org. That's where we get a bunch of our information that we share with you all, because it's like one of the few sources where you can, pagan sources you can go to and see all the pagan news. So the Wild Hunt did an editorial, you would call it, in which they got some pagan opinions to the ruling. So, T. Thorne Coyle said that she's not a lawyer, so can't speak to the ins and outs of the recent ruling. However, I recall one conversation about the young activist who day after day sat stalwartly at the Woolworth lunch counter as abuse was hurled at them. Another pagan said to me, well, the lunch counter was private property. The response troubled me because it wasn't right. The lunch counter was private property that served as a public space. While I'm not liking the couple that wanted a wedding cake to the lunch counter activist, I think that we can use a similar lens to look at this situation. Marginalized people need greater protections and allowances in our society than those who derive the most benefit from the status quo, who must take care of one another. And she goes on, but I'm not going to read everything word for word. We also have Kurt Groundswell, member of the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence in Portland, Oregon, wrote in a public Facebook post, certainly this should motivate us to keep fighting, keep resisting. But this ruling is going to embolden the right to launch all sorts of additional attacks against us. Remember, we didn't get our rights without a riot. And let's see, environmental attorney Robin Martinez considered the legal implications and possible consequences, saying that they think it's too early to tell how the decision will impact members of the pagan community, but I think it lays the groundwork for some interesting arguments. The decision itself appears to be narrowly tailored to the unique facts of the case. While the parties largely focused their argument on First Amendment issues, the Supreme Court opinion barely touched those questions. Instead, the court scrutinized what it saw as flaws in the proceedings before the Colorado Civil Rights Commission. Justice Kennedy, who authored the opinion, wrote that members of the commission acted with clear and impermissible hostility towards the sincerely held religious beliefs of the business owner. The hostility on the part of the commission resulted in a situation where, in the court's view, the business owner didn't get a fair and neutral hearing, thus informing the basis of the decision. Upshot of it is that it upholds a certain degree of Christian privilege. The court's emphasis on the importance of having a neutral arbiter in cases involving people's sincerely held religious beliefs could work to benefit pagans and other members of minority religions who may be facing religious-based discrimination. So, and then let's see if there's any other opinions. Just kind of skimming it real quick. Here's someone from the Mountain Ancestors Grove of the ADF, William Ashton, said that for this part, it's a challenging case with an awkwardly specific verdict, especially for someone both very religious and who is part of the LGBTQIA plus community. I certainly wouldn't want to be forced to offer services or goods to groups to which I don't share beliefs. It would be like being made to perform a wedding for a white nationalist healing couple, said Ashton. It seems the court supported the business owner's right to refuse service based on the event and not the nature of the customers. It's a cheap tactic to allow this kind of indiscrimination, but that's the country we live in. It's emotionally disappointing, and it's possible that from our perspective, we can't see the deeper ramifications that could be set by this case-setting precedent. So, Lady Liberty League has not, they didn't receive a response from Lady Liberty League at the time that they went public with this article. I'll tell you, I have seen a few interesting remarks that people have said on Facebook. One thing that I keep seeing everyone sharing is if you are getting ready to have a wedding or an event, even if it's just order a birthday cake, go in and pretend like you are the other part of a homosexual couple and see how the vendor reacts. See how, you know, the cake decorator or the party planner or whatever reacts. And if they react negatively towards it, what you do is you decide not to use them. You say, oh, and if they ask positively, then be like, oh, well, actually, I don't need that. I need a birthday cake. So that's why to test people, if you want to be supportive, don't use people that aren't, you know, willing to look past it. So, still nobody wants to talk to me. But let's see, what else do we have going on? Here is some sad news. Valerie J. Walker, also known as V-Dub, passed away in the early morning hours Thursday. She was a longtime member of the fairy community, a witch, an author, artist, singer, priestess, and a beloved teacher. So she was from she was born in London, England, where her family moved to Chicago. She attended Roger Sullivan High School in Chicago. So as far as I never met her, but it sounded like that she was a really cool person. She founded the Dust Bunny Fairy tradition, teaching both in person and over the internet. She wrote and self-published several books based on the tradition, such as Grandma V's First Book of Shadows and the Dust Bunny's Big Damn Handout book. So, and she published the V Deck, a non-tarot divination deck. That actually sounds kind of cool. Now I want to check all of her stuff out, but I did not know her, but I saw that posted on The Wild Hunt. So I figure it might be important to share with everyone out there that might want to know. So positive energy to all her friends and family. And I also want to tell people about this editorial piece on The Wild Hunt. It's titled Public Pagan Gives Benediction at Catholic University. And this is actually a really cool story. So it's about Shelley Raven Monkern, who is an eclectic pantheist, and she gave the benediction at her graduation ceremony at Loyola University. She majored in clinical health counseling and spiritual integration pastoral counseling and received a master's of science degree. So I read the article, and she sounds really cool. So she decided she wanted to go to this school because she wanted to learn how to integrate the spirituality of her clients into their plan for emotional growth and evolution, that she wanted to get her education and to serve pagans and heathens as well as people with more mainstream religious beliefs. So, and in case you didn't know, Loyola is named after the founder of the Jesuit order, teaching order, that has a strong reputation for academic excellence. So she found that its reputation was pretty attractive. And she said she used every chance to disclose her beliefs. Every class that had it, where people introducing themselves, she discussed it. And she said she her classmates actually surprised her by the acceptance and their curiosity. She said she also had some support from her teachers when she started a blog. She was inducted into the Jesuit Honor Society, and her paganism had no bearing on it. They said that rather than emphasizing religious beliefs, the Honor Society emphasizes the value of the founder of the Jesuits, Ignatius Loyola. So it's just really cool to see about this, her going to this religious university to get her degree and being as open as she was. And she even says that it's scary and potentially dangerous. However, in this case, it was deeply rewarding for me. You can do so. If you can do so, take the risk. It can be life-changing. Now, I know I personally went to a private Lutheran university my first year of college, and I actually found the atmosphere very open, but I wasn't pagan at the time either. I just know that we actually had to take a religious studies course where we studied the Bible, and the teacher was very open, even talked about how the translations were incorrect at times. And I just found it a very open environment. Now, I will say that one of my homosexual friends actually felt like he had to stay in the closet, especially when he joined a fraternity. And apparently a couple years later, when I went up to visit him, he was actually the only person that did not have their phone number published in the phone book for the university because he had gotten threats because people had found out he was gay. So, you know, two different experiences, two different, you know, at the same school. But he did decide to stay there and finish his degree. I guess I think part of it is probably because not every person that attends a school makes what the school is. So it all, you know, depends on your perspective and where you're coming from. So, and I'm actually going to play another song. This episode tonight is probably going to be full of music just because I'm not good at talking to myself and just keep talking, even though I probably have been rambling enough. So I'm going to play a song. I'm going to play... I don't know this person. Carrie Turing. And this song is called Klokene Sma. So I'm not sure if this is English or a different language, but we will find out. It's hard to tell by the names of some of her songs. Or his songs, sorry. I don't know. Carrie can be, I guess, a guy too. But I guess we'll find out because I'm going to play it. So I'll be right back. Thank you.
Hi, this is Raven Fire Doll with the Tree of Life Hour. I know a lot of you out there listen to our show in the archives. And have you ever thought when you were listening in the archives, man, I wish I was able to call in and talk to them while they had a guest on or they were talking about something? Well, now here's your chance. This is especially for you, our archive listeners. If you want to ever add to our conversation, please feel free to dial us on our listener voicemail line. That number is area code 502-276-5665. Tell us your name. Tell us where you're from. Leave your message in your lovely, lovely voice, and we will be more than happy to play it on an upcoming episode of the Tree of Life Hour. We love our listeners, and we thank y'all very much for listening to us.
All right, everyone, and that was Ravenfire, and I miss her right now because I'm talking to myself. And y'all probably can hear me say that. So, the next thing I wanted to bring up is something that actually came out the last time we did a live show, so I probably missed it. I don't remember saying anything about it. So, what this is top Democratic senators have introduced a Do No Harm Act that seeks to revise the 1993 Religious Freedom Restoration Act. So, if this is passed, the amended RFRA language would be, as the bill's sponsors hope, prevents the RFRA from being used as a justification to discriminate. So the Senate Bill 2918 was introduced on May 22nd, and in a press release, Harris said, who is one of, yes, that's one of the senators that's leading the bill, Senator Kamala D. Harris of California. The freedom to worship is a founding principle of this nation, as well as the right to live free of discrimination or fear that one's civil rights will be undermined, because of race, gender, sexual orientation, or gender identity. The Do No Harm Act will ensure we protect both these rights for all. So the spirit of the bill reflects, at the very least in words, a recognizable moral concept for many Wiccans and other pagans. And you harm none, do what you will. The sponsors describe the act as a bill to amend the Religious Freedom Restoration Act of 1993 to protect civil rights and otherwise prevent meaningful harm to third parties and for other purposes. It changes the language to protect and allow for the free exercise of a religion up until the point when someone is meaningfully harmed. And it's not the first bill. There were two introduced in 2016 and 2017 and also labeled Do No Harm Acts, and they're currently in committee. The original National Religious Freedom Restoration Act was signed by Bill Clinton, and since then there have been a number of similar state acts that have been enacted and have also played visible roles in cases such as the Burwell versus Hobby Lobby in 2014. And if you don't know what that is, it's where the Supreme Court justices ruled that the Affordable Care Act contraceptive requirements placed a significant burden on the religious foundation for-profit company. So the company supports, so that company, you know, they openly ran their business as on biblical principles. And it's not, contraception is not permissible in the religious worldview. So, and then let's see, the religious, the RFRA was originally passed by Congress to protect the rights of religious minorities. It has been contorted in recent years to defend discriminatory practices against LGBTQ individuals and women seeking access to reproductive health services. The Do No Harm Act would help put an end to misuse of the act and ensure that longstanding anti-discrimination protections and the law are not eroded. So, in fact, this law was the one that was actually invoked in the Masterpiece Cake Shop case. Let's see. So, this is also according to the sponsoring senators and other supporters, there have been many cases in which the RFRA legislation has been used against marginalized individuals, particularly citing members of the LGBTQ communities. And co-sponsoring Senator Ron Wyden said this discrimination against anybody because of how they look, who they love, or what religion they practice has no place in our country. I've always been proud to fight for the LGBTQ Americans and the equal rights they deserve, and I'm proud to sponsor this bill that protects against discrimination under a false pretense of religious freedom. So that is, I don't know the status of this right now. The story was done last week, so hopefully this will be a good thing. It still kind of sounds like it could possibly be subjective, because who is going to decide what meaningful harm is? At what point does it become meaningful harm? So yeah, that can be kind of subjective. But it would be nice if, you know, there's some more protections against minority religions and people being discriminated against. So that's what's going on there. Okay, and in case everybody hasn't heard, Druid Philip Carr Gaum announced June 3rd that he would be stepping down as chief of the Order of Bards, Ovates, and Druids after 30 years of service. He said in his announcement at the organization's summer gathering that these last 3 decades have been so magical and extraordinary, I could never have predicted them. We now have 25,000 members gathering all over the world and more than 200 groves and seed groups. So Irish Druid Elmir Burke, she's a nurse, counseling psychologist, celebrant, storyteller, and longtime member of the OBOD, will be the next chosen chief. Also, I want to send out some congratulations to Phyllis Grott. She received the 2018 Service to Humanity Award from One Spirit Learning Alliance and Interfaith Seminary. She said the award is in recognition from her many years of work in bringing the teachings of Wicca and its goddess to mainstream awareness and acceptance and women's spiritual leadership to the Parliament of World Religions. The One Spirit Learning Alliance and Interfaith Seminary is based in New York City, and it's a teaching facility offering programs that are based upon the essential teachings of the world great spiritual traditions as seen in the light of contemporary knowledge. So it says she'll be receiving her service award recognition during the 2018 commencement ceremony to be held at Riverside Church in New York City. She'll also be delivering a short address to the graduates. An event will take place from 2 to 4 p.m. on June 9th. So congratulations to Phil Scott for that. And it's already 9:42. I've actually been talking to you all for a while now, huh? And no one's called in yet. So I guess I'm going to go ahead and do the upcoming events that are going on. I believe this weekend is Babylon Rising. I believe that's at Midian. I don't think I've actually had that on my calendar. So, no, I haven't. Oops, sorry, everyone. But Babylon Rising is this weekend. Can't meet Midian, I believe. I can't get anything to come up to tell me. So, yay. I don't know why I can't get an event on Facebook. Because I'm guessing that. Anyway, I think it's at camp meeting this weekend, and I'm sorry, I can't get anything to come up on it on my phone or on the internet right now. So that you can always contact Camp Midian or Midian Festival Grounds, and it's in Indiana. So I'm going to go to my calendar now and discuss what exactly is going on. We have, I don't really have a lot popping up, but I know it's festival season, so I don't know where it's all at. We'll say that Ginger Doss and Linda Millard House is going to be having, and Linda Millard is going to be having a house concert in St. Louis. And then I guess it's a public, I don't really want to say the address because it is someone's house, but they are taking donations. So if you want more information, you might want to just look at events, look at Ginger Doss, who I get to listen to live at Puff, and is awesome. We also have coming up Magic and Mysticism at the Mid-Michigan Renaissance Festival, June 23rd through the 24th. And that is at Mid-Michigan Renaissance Festivals, Enchanted Forest in Vassar, Michigan. So the Enchanted Forest prices are $13 for adults and $8 for kids, and prices are around that. You can take pets as long as they have a leash and vaccination records. So, that's pretty cool. Now I want to go and take my dog. We also have... I don't know what's happened to my Facebook event, but I'm going to let everybody know. If you have an event that you want us to share on the air, please send it to us. And if you have a Facebook event, that's even better because then I can just look at it on my Facebook calendar. Send it to us at facebook.com, Tree of Life, LOUKY. Send us the event link or just send us the event information. Let us know what's going on. We will announce it on the air. So July 6th, there is a Ginger Doss and Linda Millard concert at the Magic Candle, which is on Audubon Road in Indianapolis, Indiana, from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Starwood Festival, Tuesday, July 10th through the 16th at Wisteria Event Site and Campground in Pomeroy, Ohio. I've always wanted to go to Starwood Festival. So tickets for this event are sold by Eventbrite. And let's see, Starwood 2018, Welcome Home. don't know. It doesn't really say what is without going to the website, and since my phone tends to be messed up right now, I'm not going to go there. Also, that same weekend, July 12th, is the Mystic South Conference, which I believe this is their second year, which will be in Atlanta at the Crown Plaza Atlanta Perimeter at Ravinia. So tickets are available at mystic-south.com. They'll be having rituals, academic panels, vendors, and more. And I think I heard Twatha Day is playing there. Don't take my word for it. Go to the website. Check it out. See who's going to be there. Also at Midian, which is in Springville, Indiana. Okay, sorry. Midian Festivals and Events, July 13th through the 15th, is the Southern Indiana Druid and Heathen event. More information is at asteriabooks.com, A-S-T-E-R-I-A, books.com, SID, which is S-I-D-H-E. And then we also have, let's see, 7th Annual Witch Fest is also July 14th. There's a lot going on that weekend. July 14th through the 15th, a Pagan Street Fair. And that is in New York, New York. It's between Broadway and Lafayette, July 14th, Astor Place, between Broadway and Lafayette Streets, and the 15th at Hell's Kitchen Market, West 39th. So there's a lot of people going to be there, including who else is going to be there? Christopher Pinsack, Star Ravenhawk, Reverend Don Lewis, plus many, many, many more. And I think I'm going to end it at that weekend. So, again, if you have any events that you would like us to talk about on the air, please let us know. If you have any ideas for future shows so I'm not sitting here just talking to myself, it would be very appreciated. Send us that. Again, it is facebook.com/TrueLife, L-O-U-K-Y. You can also message me directly. My name is Samara Luna on Facebook. And you can give us any ideas, any that you know about. Also, if you have a certain path or feel like your knowledge about a certain subject that you think others would like to know about, please let us know. We would like to have you on the air and interview you. So you can always join us. So I'm going to play a song to take us out. Yes, I'm ending a few minutes early, so I apologize. But I think I would like to play some Dragon Rituals Drummers since we have a little bit extra song time. There's a really good song by them, but it's pretty long, so I don't play it very often. But since I'm ending a little bit early, I'm going to play it. Is called Wake the Dragon. It is a 9-minute long song, but it is awesome. And I'm actually kind of happy that I'm playing it tonight. So everyone, please enjoy it. And we will talk at you next week. So everyone have a blessed evening.
are listening to Pagans Tonight. Pagans unite on Pagans Tonight. Many paths, one network. For over 5 years, we've been the place to connect with the best, brightest, and most trusted voices in the pagan world. Every night is Pagans Tonight.